Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 2. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds, we live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers. Many watching us online today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make things, help sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels our church to win people to Christ, to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. The characters of Christmas. Today we're going to talk about the shepherds. And the shepherds show us the wonder of Christmas. I want you to think about that. You know, sometimes we let the wonder of Christmas get pushed aside. Other things get in the way. I love the children. I love the children at Christmas. There's such a wonder about Christmas with them, about the baby Jesus, about all that Christmas is all about. And the word wonder is a sense of awe. That when these shepherds, we read the story, when these shepherds saw the angel, they were sore afraid, the old King James Bible says. They were in a sense of awe. The word wonder means a sense of awe, beauty, reverence, and holiness. This is so awesome. There are four things that this story about the shepherds tells us, all right, about the wonder of Christmas, all right? The first one is this, the wonder of where it happened. I think about this. It happened in Bethlehem. How in the world Joseph from Nazareth was supposed to be there in his place, and yet he was in Bethlehem with Mary, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Well, Caesar Augustus, he made it that all the world needed to be taxed. In God's providence, even the wonder, we think about the wonder of Christmas, even the wonder of where it happened contributes to that, all right? He ruled from 27 BC to 14 AD, and this was a fulfillment of prophecy. The Bible says that that all the world was going to be taxed. Mary went with Joseph. Do you know that in 700 BC, Micah, the prophet, Micah prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem? In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says this, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." So here, 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet prophesied that Jesus would be born there. Even the wonder of where it happened, all right? The wonder of where it happened. You see that you see the providence of God in this, how God put together all of the circumstances so that Joseph and Mary would be in Bethlehem on their way to be taxed, and Jesus would be born there. I think about the story of Israel, the story of Israel delivered out of Egypt. How did the people of Israel get to Egypt? Well, they got there because Joseph, you remember this story, way back in the Old Testament, a story of God's providence, God brought Joseph into Egypt. He was sold into slavery there, and he excelled. He was a man with the Spirit of God on him, and he excelled and eventually became the prime minister of Egypt. Well, as a result, all of the, the nation of Israel went to Egypt because there was a famine. God put all of this together to get the people of God into Egypt so that God would demonstrate his power of deliverance by bringing Moses to have them come out of Egypt. And we know that incredible story from the book of Exodus. All of this is a part of the providence and the sovereignty of God, how God works his miracles, how God works his way. And ladies and gentlemen, even at Christmas time today, now, God is working his way in your life. What is God speaking to you about specifically that you are to do, that you are to think about, that you are to commit your life to? I think about the providence of God in this story. The wonder of where it happened. God put it all together that they would be in Bethlehem. Here's the second thing, the wonder of how it happened. I think about the angel's announcement. If you look in our text, look at Luke chapter 2. Now, we read the story with the children a while ago, but look at this in verse 9. This is Luke 2, 9. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, before the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" So the wonder of how it happened, God sent angels. By the way, angels are fascinated by salvation. I'm going to read you a verse in a minute. They are just fascinated about it. But you think about angels. Angels were involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus all over the place. In chapter 1 of Luke, verse 11, the angel appeared to Zacharias. You remember Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John. And the angel appeared to Zacharias. In chapter 1, verse 26, Gabriel appeared to Mary. We'll talk about that in the weeks ahead. He said, "Mary, you are highly favored." You remember that? You're the highly favored one. And then here, the angels appear to the shepherds. So it's not just where it happened, but it's how it happened. The angel stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone before them. The awesome presence of God. Church family, you know the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of God in the Old Testament was seen as a consuming fire. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, it says, "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." And so how did the shepherds respond? They were afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid if you were there? Imagine, these shepherds were up late. They were up late. They were taking care of the sheep. And all of a sudden, you see an angel. And the Bible says later that a whole heavenly host was there. The heavenly host of heaven, or all the angels of heaven. God peeled back the sky so that these shepherds could see the hosts of heaven. And the Bible says they were afraid. And yet, just like the children said, the angel said, "Fear not, for I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy." Now, this is the same word. It's a derivative of the word we use for grace. The angel is saying to the shepherds, "Look, I'm bringing you a message of grace." This was really the first evangelism that was done. They shared the good news. That phrase, "I bring you good tidings of great joy," could be translated this way: "I bring you good tidings of well-being, good tidings that your life is going to change." And so we see that. And then all of a sudden in verse 13, the heavenly hosts, thousands of the heavenly hosts were revealed. It was good news. It's like a doctor coming in your visit and they say, "I have some good news for you." Maybe you've had a test and you're a little bit anxious about it. Maybe a blood test, maybe some other kind of test. And they say, "I have some good news." And when they say that, you just relax. Well, here was what the angel said to the shepherds: "I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, let me read this verse of Scripture. It talks about the angels. It says, to them it was revealed that, not to themselves. Now, this is talking about people here, the individuals that he's writing to. But to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. In other words, the gospel being preached to you. But then at the last phrase, things which angels desire to look into. There is a fascination with angels and salvation. You think about it. An angel, a created being that is in heaven, it is seeing all of history take place. The angel knows what is happening. The angel knows that the Lord Jesus is coming down to Bethlehem. There's a great purpose for that. And yet the angel cannot experience salvation. Who can experience it? Just you and me. Just those that have been redeemed can experience it. And yet the angels are so into it, they can't stand it. They want to know more about it. The angels long to look into the idea of the gospel. It's fascinating to the heavenly hosts. And so the heavenly hosts, they come to the shepherds, and they reveal their glory. They reveal the glory of heaven to the shepherds, and it just creates a fear in them, an awe in them. And it's really the wonder. I hope we don't ever lose the wonder of Christmas, that Jesus came to this earth to die and to pay for our sins and purchase us a place in heaven, which he offers us as a free gift. Now, we think about the wonder of Christmas. We think about where it happened. We think about how it happened. But here's the third thing quickly. To whom it happened. These were shepherds. Now, we think about in our manger scenes, we think about the shepherds. But we know from history that in many ways the shepherds of that day were considered like the outcasts of their day. This is definitely not the group of people that you would go to get the word out about the birth of the Son of God. Probably the last people you'd go to. You would want to go to somebody in the religious world, maybe in the temple. You would want to go to a priest. You'd want to go to someone perhaps in the government that was in charge of public relations in some way, if you were really trying to get the message out. But there's something unique, there's something wonderful about who the angels appeared to and about who got to go and worship the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem. You see, they really represent, these shepherds really represent the outcasts and sinners for whom Christ died. In Luke 1:52, it says this, "And he put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." The Lord Jesus does that. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, doesn't he? He uses the foolish of the world to confound the wise. In Luke 7, it says this, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John these things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them.'" In many ways, there's so much wonder about the story of Christmas. And one of the things that just magnifies that is to whom that glory was revealed. It was revealed to the shepherds. Think about your own life. How did the Lord reveal himself to you? Maybe in some little church somewhere, you heard the gospel of Jesus. Maybe through your family, through your family. No one else necessarily knew that this was being shared with you this particular night, but sitting around the dinner table in your house, your dad or your mom shared with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ordinary person that God uses. We should marvel that the gospel has come to us. Think about it. You've been given the good news. These were hardworking men. These were rough men that shepherded those sheep. These were ordinary men. God is in the business of using the foolish things of the world or the ordinary things of the world to confound the wise. I have a friend of mine who's in ministry, and he was abandoned as a little child, and it's a sad story. And yet, in the providence of God, God put him into a family. He came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He studied for the gospel ministry, and today he's making a difference in people's lives like never before because he gave his life to Jesus Christ. The Lord, there's not anyone, church family, there's not anyone that Jesus doesn't love and whom Jesus cannot use and Jesus cannot save. And I think about the wonder of Christmas. The wonder of Christmas is shown into whom it was revealed to. It was revealed to these shepherds. And then the last thing is the wonder of their response. I want you to look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. Luke 2:15, it says this, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven." Boy, I'd love to have been there at that moment. The shepherds had seen all these angels. They'd seen the heavenly host, and all of a sudden they were gone. One guy looked at the other guy and said, "Man, did you see that? Can you imagine?" It says that when they all gone away, that the shepherds said to one another, and church family, Jesus came as a baby in Bethlehem to save the world. We're thinking about that today. You know what ought to happen when we dismiss this service? You ought to say, okay, the service is over. Let's think about that for our lives. That's exactly what these shepherds did. They talked to one another about it. And then they said this, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. They took off. They got there quickly. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. Look at verse 20. "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." We see the wonder of their response. Not just the wonder of where it happened, how it happened, to whom it happened, but what was the response? And it was a response filled with wonder. Jesus changes everything, doesn't he, church? If we're not careful, all the trappings of December and Christmas and the material world, and there's some things about all that I know that are fun for us in the families and with our children and all these things. But if we're not careful, we let that dominate. And we need to just slow down enough and think about this. The God creator of the universe came to this earth to save us and to change our life. And what was their response? They worshiped. They said, "Let us now go." They came with haste in verse 16, and they came and they left glorifying and praising God. In other words, they were a witness. They were really the first evangelist. In verse 17, it says, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. We think about this idea of glory. We used to sing the doxology. You know, the word doxology is a word for glory, okay? We used to sing that doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." You remember that? Some of you remember that when you'd sing at the end of church, you'd sing the doxology. Well, in the book of Luke, doxology is normal. He's all about the glory of God. So the question is for you and for me, what is our response? What is our response to the Lord Jesus coming? In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." When the glory of God shone to the shepherds, the Bible says they were sore afraid. They were fearful, and yet the angel said, "Fear not, I'm bringing you good news of great joy." And yet we see that awe, the awe of God in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We will not respond properly to the baby in the manger if we don't realize what an amazing and awesome thing God has done, this holy God of the universe has done in order to make salvation possible for us. They say that Dan Ecker, the great sculptor, he had done a figure of the Christ, and it really moved him. He had done a lot of work in sculpting, and he did a figure of the Christ, and he was really moved by it. It was a spiritual experience to make that right, to make that sculpture of Christ right. Well, Napoleon, the great leader, came to him and said, "I want you to make a statue for the Louvre." The Louvre. I've never been to the Louvre. Maybe some of you have been to Paris to the Louvre. And Napoleon said, "I want you to make a statue, Dan Ecker, for the Louvre, and I want you to make it of the god Venus." Dan Ecker replied, he said, "The hands that have carved the Christ cannot be employed to create a heathen god." And the truth is, church family, the wonder of Christmas. The shepherds demonstrate that. They were there on that hillside, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." We've celebrated the homecoming of some of these of our members that have been out in the world. The reason we're out in the world, the reason we have that assignment, is because of this same message that the angels gave the shepherds. I'm bringing you good news of great joy, which shall be for who? All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The wonder of Christmas. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.